SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, hour two of our two-hour show. And in this hour, we cover every game in the National Football League, all the players involved. Make sure you stick around throughout the entire hour. Davis and I back at it, and we'll take a look at the first game on the slate. Davis's favorite, the London game, where he's got to get up at like 6 in the morning to watch this thing. Ravens and Titans in London. The Ravens are 4-point favorites. The total is 41.5. Lamar Jackson on fantasy teams is going to play for you. So is Derrick Henry. Zay Flowers is an interesting name we're going to talk about. Boy, the Ravens receivers, Davis, I don't know if it's just getting in a Ravens uniform at this point. I'm not really sure what it is. Still a lot of drops going on for these guys. I mean, they easily should have beaten Pittsburgh last week. They let them right back into the game. And that rivalry, you know how it goes. Pittsburgh ended up taking it in the end.
Yeah, they lost. They lost 15 expected points on drops in that game. Just like a total nightmare situation. I'm not really taking, anything away from that. I mean, like you said, Ravens Steelers games, just a long history of going under the total and being obnoxious. A couple things I'm looking out here for the Ravens. The first is on Friday, head coach John Harbaugh said Keaton Mitchell could be activated for the game. That is their rookie running back, ran a 4.340. Look, no disrespect intended to Gus Edwards, Melvin Gordon, Justice Hill, any of those guys, but the Ravens have really gotten nothing from their running backs this year after J.K. Dobbins got hurt. I mean, look, anytime you are forced to play Melvin Gordon in an NFL game, it's not really going to be that fun. I think if Keaton Mitchell is activated from the designated for return IR, I think he's going to get a chance to play, and I think that he will play pretty well, which I think is fairly interesting. On the Titans side of the ball, Treylon Burks already out of this game. It's Henry, it's Hopkins. I mean, God, I really hope you are not having to start Ryan Tannehill in any fantasy league, you know, super flex or otherwise, because that is not going to be a fun situation to be in. I will predict in this game that Tajay Spears yet again plays more snaps than Derrick Henry. The pattern is pretty simple. The games that they have won win against the Chargers, 37% of the snaps for Tajay Spears. Win against the Bengals, didn't play very much until garbage time. Then their losses, lost to New Orleans, lost to Cleveland, lost to Indianapolis. Spears plays in all of those games. I think they're going to lose this game. I think if you are in a pinch with byes or injuries, you can probably start Spears.
All right, 49ers and Browns. We know it's all hands on deck for San Francisco with Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, maybe some Josh Purdy too. The weather is a factor. The total is the lowest I've seen in an NFL game this year. On FanDuel, this is shifting back between 35.5 and 36. And Davis, I mean, in a pinch, I guess there are some Browns to potentially look at and start this week, but your expectations have to be very low, I think, going up against the 49ers here.
I really would not start any Brown if I could help it. For example, I'd start Josh Downs over Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones, David Njoku, putting all those guys. I guess the one guy you would feel you probably can't get away from, and I actually, unfortunately, am in this spot on a couple teams, but Jerome Ford, the Browns running back, 56%, 62% of the snaps in games without Nick Chubb, 6 targets in that awful loss to Baltimore, actually caught 5 of them for 19 yards. So I guess you're starting Jerome Ford. I mean, if you're going to look out for anything in this game, the Browns got their bye week. Maybe they use that time to integrate either Kareem Hunt or Pierre Strong into a larger role in that offense. I mean, I kind of think Ford is okay. So I might be a little bit biased because I have Jerome Ford on a lot of my fantasy teams. So I would never say I am completely unbiased in these situations, but that's definitely something to look for. And then on the 49ers, I mean, you're starting CMC, you're starting Kittle, you're starting Debo, you're starting Ayuk, understanding two of those guys are going to do nothing, right? Two of those four guys are going to have bad fantasy games. If George Kittle catches 3 touchdowns again, guess what? Congrats on your 6.3 PPR points for Debo Samuel, you know. But again, if Debo rips off 2 long ones, That probably means George Kittle didn't do anything. And funniest stat, I mean, this is the funniest thing. George Kittle against the Cowboys, Craig, 3 targets, 3 touchdowns. Easy game, right? If you just catch a touchdown on every single target, you know, that's good, efficient football. But yeah, not like even Purdy, honestly, who has been pretty good for fantasy, I would probably start like your Jared Goff tier of guys over him just because they're just not going to have to score here, and that total is so low.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if this is something you have to look up, but is Kittle the number one tight end in fantasy football now after that week last week? I can't imagine anybody having more points than him.
I think it's still Hawkinson. It might be because Hawkinson's had one mega game, and Kelsey has a ton of points, and he's got the benefit of had the extra game, although he did miss a game. Laporta's up there, and then Andrews had the 2-touchdown game. Point being, though, Craig, your point is well taken, which is that tight ends are not scoring any points. Even the good tight ends, it's like, okay, Kittle just had that mega game, and then what did I just say? I mean, Kittle literally might get 0 points this week. I have a 16-team dynasty league where I have Kittle and Mark Andrews, and I normally start them both in any given week. And I actually benched Kittle this week because I'm just like, it's not going to happen. It's just, this is not the week for George Kittle to score a bunch of points.
Yeah, Sam, our producer, says he's 5th overall. Komet, Laporta, some others ahead of him. All right, Commanders Falcons this week. The Commanders defense has been rough. The Falcons offense has been rough. So one of the two things has to give. The Falcons are a slight favorite, total 42.5. Clearly, Bijan Robinson is starting in all fantasy leagues. For Washington, this Sam Howell stuff is just very fascinating, Davis. It's like one game he's horrendous. Another game, he's throwing 3 touchdowns. Can't really figure him out. McLaurin, I know, is the main target there. I guess you got to give it the best shot. Total is 42.5. It feels like this total is low, Davis. I don't know. I think maybe more points are coming from this game. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. It just sort of depends on who gets the lead first, right? If the Falcons get up 10... yeah, more points are coming. If the Commanders get up 10, I don't know how I feel about that many more points coming. And I think ideally, honestly, both of these coaches, Ron Rivera and Arthur Smith, would love to run the ball a ton. We've already seen that in positive game scripts. The win against Denver, the win against Arizona, Howell's attempts were limited. I mean, Howell the last 2 weeks has 92 passing attempts against the Eagles and the Bears. Don't think that trend continues here. Probably more in like the 32, 33 range for Howell. Starting McLaurin, Samuel and Dotson sort of on the borderline. Logan Thomas, huge each of the last 2 weeks. Definitely would start him given how bad the position is. Starting Bijan, starting London. Although London, I mean... London does not feel good. And then Pitts. And then how about Jonnu Smith? Again, I think he's not had less than 8.6 PPR points in any game this season. Good old Jonnu Smith. I hate the Falcons. The Falcons are my least favorite team to try and figure out for fantasy football.
Yeah, they're right in the mix again. Yet another year. All right, coming up next, speaking of fun offenses, Miami Dolphins are on deck. They play the Carolina Panthers. High expectations going into this great spot. We'll talk about who to play next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For as long as I can remember, the Kansas City Chiefs have been like that must-watch offensive team. Before that, Davis, it was the New England Patriots. But right now, I would tell you, that maybe it's just my perception, but it feels like it is the Miami Dolphins now. It feels like that is the team that everybody wants to see play just because of the amount of points that they put up. Their defense isn't great, and that's even helping the fantasy situation too. This week, they take on, oh my gosh, the Carolina Panthers. I will be stunned if the Panthers win this game, Davis. Now, anything can happen in the NFL. And Carolina, by the way, had the ball like a million times last week against Detroit with like a million times to cover in that game. They just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, I guess I could see that happening this week, too. But this is just like two teams that are so polar opposite right now. Panthers' offense looks so dreadful. I don't know how they could possibly keep up with Miami in this one. The total's even on the higher side. So I would suppose you play every Dolphin that you can find, but how about the Panthers? Which Panthers would you play?
Yeah, you're definitely starting Adam Thielen. I mean, Thielen is he's one of the stories of the fantasy season. I mean, completely left for dead by the community. 7 for 54 in a touchdown, 11 for 144 in a touchdown, 7 for 76, 11 for 107 in a touchdown. Perhaps most importantly, he's staying in there in garbage time. That's really what you need from someone with Thielen's role. He played 97% of the snaps against the Detroit Lions and just an absolute shellacking by the Lions. I think we are, I definitely think we are headed for another absolute shellacking here for the Carolina Panthers. Pretty worried about Bryce Young's future outcomes. Just doesn't really look like he's got it. Yeah, I guess he hasn't been terrible. 4 interceptions, 5 touchdowns, like 5.2 YPA. It's not looking good. I definitely think you got to start Chuba Hubbard if you've been holding on to him here. Should see, he could see like 8, 9, 10 targets in the passing game on some of these dump downs. If they get a short rushing touchdown, I definitely think he would get it. Don't really think LaVisca Chenault or Raheem Blackshear will play that large of a role there. Really, the only interesting thing with the Dolphins, I mean, you're starting Tyreek, you're starting Waddle, you're starting Tua, you're starting Mostert. It will be, does Jeff Wilson Jr. get activated? How much does he play after getting activated off the designated for return IR? And then if he doesn't, how much does Savon Ahmed play? Does Chris Brooks get in and get any of these carries that were going to Devin Achain? We've got a little bit to think about there, but the Dolphins, I mean, they have a 31.5-point team total, highest team total of the entire slate. It's a lot of points coming from the Miami Dolphins is what the market is expecting.
Yeah, probably so. It's just been that way all season long. All right, Vikings and Bears, both teams probably going nowhere this season. Boy, have the variance on the Vikings evened out this year from last year, Davis. They played all those close games and won. This year they're playing all these close games and losing. They're 3-point favorites at the Bears. The line is actually a little surprising to me here. The Bears playing better. 43.5, the total in the game. I've seen some 41s and some 40s. Hey, this is actually on the medium side in an NFL game. This year, Justin Fields all of a sudden has found it for whatever reason. He's been as good as any quarterback in the NFL the last couple of weeks. DJ Moore was so good, best career game that he had last week as well. And on the Minnesota side, things are just falling apart. I mean, Justin Jefferson is hurt. Running game has kind of been non-existent. They traded for Cam Akers. I don't know, would you play Cam Akers this week? It seemed like he is the primary guy again. Madison comes in and just gets tackled immediately. It's like not even pretty. So some questions, I think, as to who you would start in this one.
Don't think I would start Akers yet. He's played 29% of the offensive snaps in his 2 games for the Vikings, 5 rushes in each game, 2 targets in each game. Would imagine that he will probably get some of the short yardage stuff because that's the area where Madison has been the worst, just not really powerful in between the tackles. They probably want to leave Madison in there in passing situations because he knows the offense and he's a pretty good pass blocker. That was never an area that Akers really excelled in when he was with the Los Angeles Rams. Starting Addison, Cousins, I would say Cousins would be on the borderline if they were against anyone but the Bears, but the Bears defense is just so brutal. Starting DJ Moore, starting Justin Fields. If Roshan is healthy and active for this game, out of the concussion protocol, you're starting him. If Donta Foreman is the only running back available in this game, you're definitely starting him. Can't imagine any format. I mean, he'd probably be like a top 15 running back on the week if there's no other Bears running backs available in a sort of Kyren Williams-esque way. KJ Osborne is right on the borderline for me. I actually think this game has a pretty good chance of going over 48.5. These are just two really bad defenses. Justin Fields has 8 passing touchdowns the last 2 weeks, so he is definitely playing better. Don't really think the Vikings defense is going to be able to do that much to limit him because the Vikings defense has been so brutal. Just two bad defenses, two kind of questionable offenses. Generally, the bad defense, I think, is going to lose out there.
All right, let's move on to the Colts and Jaguars. And I think the dynamic at running back for the Colts is really we're talking about here, Davis, because the Jaguars are pretty obvious who you're playing. But how do you explain Zach Moss being the best that we've ever seen him in a place where I thought that he may not even make the Colts? He's been fantastic. Jonathan Taylor is now back. I would assume that Taylor is going to be the guy. But, man, Moss has been a huge surprise for as well as he's played with the Indianapolis Colts. Naturally, they're not blessed with that much talent on offense. Jaguars, to me, seems pretty cut and dry who you play. How about the Colts?
Yeah, Jaguars, Lawrence, Ridley, Kirk, Ingram, ETN, that's it. No one else worth debating. Colts, I mean, Gardner Minshew is going to be on the borderline top 15-ish tight end or quarterback here. Kylan Granson is probably going to be the only tight end active on the team. Well, they'll have Drew Ogletree, but he's more of a blocker. Mo Alie-Cox, concussion. Jelani Woods still on the IR. Jonathan Taylor, he is a fascinating start sit. He barely played last week. 80% of his snaps against the Tennessee Titans for Zach Moss, 23 carries. His touch totals are insane. He had 22 touches, 33 touches, 19 touches, 25 touches this season since coming back after. Remember, he broke his arm in the preseason, yeah. Zach Moss did. So just coming back. I mean, now once Jonathan Taylor gets going, there's no stopping that train. Like, I don't think he's going to be in a timeshare with Zach Moss. Like, once he is fully ramped up and the team thinks he's 100% healthy and good to go. But, I mean, you know, crazier things have happened. It would be insane to pay Jonathan Taylor 3 years, $42 million, and then put him in a timeshare with Zach Moss. But maybe Moss remains startable. I think I would risk it and start Taylor this week in a lot of the leagues where I've been holding him.
All right, let's go to the Saints and the Texans. Two teams playing better than we thought. The Saints last week, oh my gosh, look what they did to the New England Patriots. Everybody getting involved in that game. You know, C.J. Stroud may be the best rookie quarterback going right now with Richardson out. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. Houston's playing competitive in a lot of games. The Saints are a slight favorite. Total is 42.5. I can't imagine the Saints doing what they did last week again this week in Houston. So that does bring up some interesting start-sit questions, I think, on both sides.
Yep. For the Texans, Pierce, start. Woods, borderline start. You know, on the Saints, Olave, Thomas, Shaheed is kind of your dart there. Oh, Nico Collins, obviously, for the Texans. Just you're going to start that guy every single week. Alvin Kamara, 24 touches in his two games coming back from suspension. Clear start. Craig, this is my top play of the week, my lead pipe lock, the Houston Texans plus 1.5 points as a dog at home to the New Orleans Saints. C.J. Stroud is already in the category of quarterback that you're not making him a home dog to Derek Carr. Not doing it, not trusting it. You got to be a top 10 team in the NFL to make C.J. Stroud a home dog, I think.
Playing great. Eventually will throw an interception, just hasn't done it yet, but phenomenal pick, it looks like, by the Houston Texans. All right, coming up next, we're going to review the Seahawks and Bengals, tell you who to start and sit in that game. And then we get to, my gosh, the game that nobody will be watching, but we'll be talking about Patriots and Raiders. That's coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talk about having some potential to be a fun game in fantasy. I think this one does, Davis. We've got the Seahawks at the Bengals. The Bengals, they finally started to look right last week. Joe Burrow was moving around well. Ja'Marr Chase, my gosh, you are just not going to get a better performance than what he had last week. If you had Chase and you did not win, I don't know what you did wrong in your fantasy team last week. He was phenomenal. Seattle's offense, you know, actually pretty good too. Total 44.5 tells you there's some chance for some scoring here. Cincinnati, a slight favorite. I do think these two teams are even. I think, Davis, the Bengals are better if Burrow is fully healthy, and we know this. It's just the consistency level from them hasn't been there. So, you know, clearly Burrow is a start and Chase is a start. Mixon really hasn't been quite what we thought. You know, by the way, Davis, I don't know if you saw that game last week. Mixon got a ton of chances near the goal line, just couldn't make the most of them.
He got not one, not two, not three, four straight carries from the 1 yard line, did not score. This is just one of these classic problems in fantasy, but we have all these abilities to measure expected points, how many points you should score with this carry, how many points you should score with this target. And, you know, Mixon, because he gets four consecutive carries that are worth, like, I don't know, 4.5, 5.5 points or something like that, scored 30 expected fantasy points 12 real fantasy points in that game against the Arizona Cardinals. You're starting Burrow, starting Chase, starting T, starting Mixon. If you drafted him, man, would not feel good about having Joe Mixon on my fantasy team. Starting Geno, Geno's sort of on that borderline, kind of like we talked about with like Cousins and Minshew. Like if you have him, fine. Probably not a better option on your waiver wire, but don't think it's like a great spot. Starting Metcalf, starting Lockett, starting Walker. Probably, definitely not starting Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's more of like a DFS thing. But I am very interested to see if there is a change in his role after the bye week. Because it is, and I feel the same way about Jahmyr Gibbs with the Lions, and I've got no hope on Gibbs. I mean, Gibbs is basically just Nyheim Hines for the Lions. But just, it is crazy to draft a guy in the first round. You know, it's a very finite resource that you have there and then just not use him. Like it is insane. Good teams don't do that. You see the Bills, the Chiefs, these guys, they use a first round pick and then they play that guy. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire notwithstanding. So we'll see what ends up happening there. I guess really the only interesting thing to monitor here is T. Higgins is probably going to play. He spoke to the media on Friday. And he said this rib injury that he has, it's just like pain tolerance, pain management, but it's not really going to get any better in season until he can rest for like the entire off season. So we'll see what happens there. I'm starting T this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if his effectiveness is diminished as a result of this injury.
All right, now let's move on to the Patriots and the Raiders. And boy, I don't know what was getting into me thinking that New England could all of a sudden turn this on. They have turned it off. I would say, Davis, about this game, if there's any trick that Bill Belichick has left, and we have, you know, look, he's going right to the Hall of Fame as soon as he's done. He's got to break it out for this week. And I don't know what it is, Davis. Is it playing a running back, a quarterback? Is it playing two quarterbacks? Is it playing no quarterbacks? I don't know what the answer is. But easily the worst performance I've seen for the New England Patriots at home in my life last week against the Saints. Like, that game was over in 5 minutes. The Raiders, on the other hand...
The biggest home defeat... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. You got it.
Biggest home defeat in the Bill Belichick era ever. Had never lost by that many points in the entirety of his coaching career.
Yeah, and the Raiders, meanwhile, let's give them some credit. I know it was ugly, but they ended up beating the Green Bay Packers. I don't know, Davis. I think I'm going to do it to myself one more time with New England. I don't know. I just think this is it. You know, this is real. Last week was probably it, honestly. But I think this is really, really it. If we don't get a good performance from the Patriots, just pack it in. It is done. If Belichick has any tricks up his sleeve, any curveballs to throw, they all got to be in this game against the Raiders, because Davis, we know exactly what the Raiders are going to be. 20 passes, 17 points, mediocre fantasy numbers. I don't know. I don't want to watch the game, but I do want to see what happens.
I mean, I don't want to watch this game, and I don't even really care what happens, because these are two teams that are, you're not starting any Patriot in fantasy. I mean, maybe Ramondre, but even Ramondre, you don't really want to start, because he's not even getting that passing game usage that used to make him so good for fantasy. He had 2 targets, 0 receptions, 8 carries on 50% of the snaps against New Orleans. You know, it's just not really happening. Mac not starting, Parker not starting. I guess maybe Hunter Henry, even then, I don't know. And then the Raiders, you're starting Adams, Myers, Jacobs, that's it. Michael Meyer ran 46% of the routes on Monday night against the Packers. I would be curious to see if his routes can increase here, if he can get up to 60, 70% of the routes with Austin Hooper going to the bench. That would be nice, you know, to see another young tight end try and score some points, but I don't have that belief in Bill Belichick. I mean, the Patriots stink, man. They are the slowest roster in the NFL. Their quarterback stinks. The line stinks. The defense isn't even good anymore. They're going to win like 6 games. They're terrible.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, I played against him in a fantasy league last week. The person who I played against him, he got a 0. I like cut him the second the game was over. I was like, this person is mad about Hunter Henry that he played against me last week. My gosh, 0. This is the fishy line of the week, Davis. What's up with this one? Lions only 3-point favorites at Tampa Bay. It must mean Tampa Bay's winning this game on Sunday. That's the only thing I can figure out here, because I thought Detroit was much better than Tampa Bay, but they make these lines for a reason, Davis. So, you know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Evans is somewhat banged up, so kind of questionable who the wide receivers will be there. Tampa's really not running the ball very well. I honestly don't even know how Tampa's won games that they've won this year. Detroit, great statement, I thought, last week against Carolina, a team inferior to them, who they blew out. But I guess the bottom line is the Jared Goff numbers, home versus road, is like a real thing. It's like a real stark difference in the way that he plays in the dome versus outside.
Well, yeah, it's indoor, outdoor. Jared Goff, better than people have given him credit for much of his career, but he does not throw the ball very hard. He is one of the lowest throw velocity guys. And Craig, he's also got little baby hands. Jared Goff's hands are small. I mean, it is like one of those scouts always say stuff like that, but it does seem to impact him. His record in games with poor weather is also like atrocious throughout his career. But the reason why the Buccaneers have been winning games, they do not turn the ball over and they get turnovers on defense. They are number one in the NFL in takeaway giveaway ratio. They are 10th in the NFL in points allowed on defense. They are a decently coached team with a quarterback who is not making very many mistakes right now. They can't run the ball to save their lives. And I do wonder if Sean Tucker might be a little bit more involved for them coming out of the bye. Cause I think Sean Tucker out of Syracuse is like the best pure rusher on the team. Probably just like an undrafted free agent who doesn't really know how to pass block. So they don't want to play him that much. And I think Evans is going to play, but again, 29-year-old, 30-year-old wide receiver with a hamstring injury. We'll see. But this kid, Trey Palmer, who they drafted out of Nebraska, that dude can straight up play. He's very good. So I don't even like, I would just be interested to see him play more for fantasy. I mean, I guess just seeing what happens with LaPorta, with St. Brown back in. I mean, does he keep that same good target role that he's had? And then, yeah, watch Rashad White's snaps for fantasy stuff.
All right, Cardinals at the Rams this week. The Cardinals finally crashed a little bit last week. They're big underdogs at the Rams. Rams definitely playing better than some people thought. 48.5 is the total there. Davis, the Rams offense does resemble a little bit of what it did a couple of years ago, still having some trouble running the ball. And, you know, for the Cardinals, Dobbs finally, I think we're starting to see come back down to earth a little bit. And it's only natural. I mean, no quarterback, Davis, wants to play in the NFL as a game manager. And we saw that go a little bit away from Dobbs last week.
Yeah, I mean, Dobbs is just like, you know, he's made himself a bunch of money as a backup quarterback in the NFL, right? I mean, he's going to stick around forever now. Interesting stuff to watch here for fantasy. Does Rondale Moore get used as a running back at all? He did get 3 carries. He's actually been very effective as a rusher this season, really effective as a rusher the entire time he's been in the NFL. Feels like with James Conner out, they should probably expand that a little bit. What is the playing time split like between Amari DiMercato and Keontae Ingram, assuming that Ingram is able to be 100% good to go with this neck injury? Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell, they're going to stay in the exact same roles that they were in last week. One thing I'm waiting for is just for Kyren Williams to stop getting the ball so much. He's out there a ton, but he's just been brutal. I mean, he just is not a very good NFL running back, very inefficient. Just the most average running back you could ever find. And they have this kid, Zach Evans out of SMU, who was active for the first time last week. I wonder if he gets a little bit more of the ball on offense. And Michael Wilson. Does Michael Wilson continue to be a starter on the outside for the Arizona Cardinals?
All right, so there you go. Cardinals taking on the Rams this week. When we come back next, we'll wrap up our previews, Eagles and Jets, Giants and Bills. We also got fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60 on deck as well as we get you ready for kickoff. Of course, Sunday morning, don't forget to set your lineups early. The London game, Tennessee and Baltimore, 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning. And that'll be on actually the same time as my buddies Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker, as they are on the air Sunday morning as well. But we got plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today, helping you win your fantasy league every Saturday right here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we're back right after these messages previewing the Eagles and Jets next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final two games we'll preview here on Fantasy Sports today. Davis, let's get to the Eagles and Jets. Eagles going to be missing a couple of very important defensive starters for them. I actually was really encouraged watching the Jets play last week, Davis. I thought they played better. Breece Hall looked good. And then I remember they played against the Broncos. So I don't know if I'm willing now to feel as good as I did last week after what I saw from Denver on Thursday night. But I think the Eagles are going to win this game. But maybe the Jets aren't a total disaster. I don't know. I still don't think it's going to be good for them offensively, but I don't even care that Denver's defense was so bad. I think Breece Hall, Davis, is the real deal, man. I think he's going to be a first-round pick in fantasy next year.
I mean, I think he probably would have been a first-round pick in fantasy had he not had the knee injury. I mean, I could have seen him being a top-three pick in fantasy with Rodgers coming in without that knee injury. One of the best running backs in the NFL. Starting him, starting Garrett Wilson, starting Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, DeAndre Swift, and that's it. Yeah, don't really have to consider anyone else from the Jets. They are a fantasy wasteland, even with that win last week. The Jets are... Zach Wilson, man, if you were buying the resurgence on him, I don't think he's resurgent particularly.
Real quick,
what's up?
You're playing everybody on the Eagles, right?
Oh yeah, starting all those guys. Your audio just cut out there on for a second on me, but yeah. Sorry. starting all those guys. All five of their fantasy relevant guys. Maybe you could even start Gainwell if you're in a difficult spot with the buys and the injuries and stuff, and you think there is going to be some garbage time. I think that you could start Gainwell.
All right, last game, Giants Bills, biggest spread on the board, Davis. We found out no Daniel Jones this week for the Giants. I believe it's Tyrod Taylor at the Buffalo Bills. So revenge game here, Davis. Giants win the game outright, maybe. Total 44.5 in this game. I mean, it can't get any worse for the Giants. They have looked terrible. Buffalo, I think this is a nice get-right spot for them. 14 points is just so much in the NFL. And Taylor, with the exception of, where was the last spot Tyrod Taylor was? Was it the Chargers? I don't even remember which team he played on most recently. But whatever.
Yeah, it was Chargers. Chargers.
For the first time in his career, I thought he didn't look that great, Tyrod Taylor, at the end of the line there. But generally speaking, when he plays, the teams do tend to be competitive. But the Giants are one of those teams where I think we're going to be asking ourselves at the end of the season, even though they paid Daniel Jones, what are they going to do going forward?
Well, it looks like a mistake to have paid Daniel Jones. I mean, they have like the worst offensive line in football. The defense isn't good. It's just, I mean, it's hopeless. Saquon Barkley is questionable. Darren Waller is questionable for this game. For the Bills, you're starting Josh, you're starting James Cook, you're starting Gabe Davis, you're starting Stephon Diggs. We'll see. Dalton Kincaid is questionable for this game. I think you would start him, given how high he was drafted and how low the bar is at tight end. If he doesn't go, Dawson Knox, a pretty good play. Really would not want to start any Giant. Really, really would hope to. I mean, Waller, if he plays, I think is fine, but that's it. I mean, any of these wide receivers, Matt Breida, Eric Ray, none of these guys. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know. They probably score like 10 points here. It's going to be really bad.
All right, so there you go. There's previews of every game in the National Football League. If you're just tuning in, just rewind a little bit. If you're on YouTube or just watch the whole show over on sportsgrid.com, you can catch our show, Fantasy Sports Today. But for now, before we leave you, let's ask some true or false questions. And on our show, we call it fantasy or reality. Naturally, Davis, the fantasy season is full of surprises. And I think one of the bigger surprises happened very early on in the fantasy season. Maybe we should have saw it coming, that the Rams fell out of favor for at least a second time with Cam Akers, and they put Kyren Williams in at running back for the Rams. Statistically speaking, he's been fine, but will the Rams be able to ride him the rest of the way? Fantasy reality. Kyren Williams finishes the season as a top three fantasy running back.
Yeah, I got fantasy here. Just feels like there are too many guys behind him who are going to end up scoring more points. So right now, actually, this is so funny. In full PPR, it's McCaffrey 1, Mostert 2, Achane 3, which is just, I mean, it's so funny for the two guys to be on the same team. Then ETN is 4, then we get to Kyren at 5. But behind him, these are guys I expect to outscore him. Bijan, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, Kenneth Walker, those are the ones who I would say are like, you know, more than 60% to outscore him the rest of the way. And as I just mentioned, we were previewing this game. I mean, Kyren has been very ineffective. He's just been on the field a ton. Like he gets every running back touch. They barely give the ball to Ronnie Rivers at all. So it's really more of a volume than an efficiency thing. Those are kind of difficult bets to make. So I am out on the Kyren Williams experience. I got fantasy here.
I'll double down. I'll say fantasy too. And again, there are some other running backs who have not gotten off to great starts that you just know are going to be there at the end of the season. You know, Breece Hall is one of the players that we just talked about. I think he's going to end up being there. I honestly could see the guy that they traded in Cam Akers taking off for the Vikings at this. I mean, look, they traded for the guy. I mean, it doesn't matter how bad the Vikings are. They're going to play, I think, Cam Akers the rest of the season too. So a lot can change between now and then. But I don't anticipate this continuing. And if the Rams stay in it, maybe they make a trade. I will say fantasy. Kyren Williams does not finish the season as a top three fantasy running back. Okay, a couple of years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Najee Harris. And Harris, as a rookie, lived up to the billing. He looked fantastic. But since then, it's just been a complete slowdown for him. In fact, if you watch the game between Pittsburgh and Baltimore last week, all of a sudden, the second half of the game, all of the touches were going to Jaylen Warren. And it seems like this has been gaining steam for a while, but they just don't turn the keys over to Warren ever. It still feels like, Davis, the first half of games, all the carries are going to Harris. Fantasy reality, Jaylen Warren will get more than 50% of the offensive snaps. So essentially, they turn the running back over to Warren.
Well, the Steelers are on bye this week, but I will say reality. He's already been close, 49% against Baltimore, 49% against Houston, 45% against the Raiders. He has 25 targets already on the season, which is the third most on the team, only one behind Allen Robinson. He has caught 21 of them, been pretty efficient as a receiver, been okay. He's not... So Jaylen Warren is not like this great running back. I think there's kind of this thing that's like, oh, Najee's terrible, and he is, that makes Jaylen Warren great. Jaylen is just like fine. But yeah, I got reality. They gotta win some games. You're just not winning games playing Najee Harris this much. So I got reality.
Yeah, I got fantasy. I still think Najee Harris isn't gonna get his fair share of carries. And look, when you just invest that much and it's still Mike Tomlin there, it's still more or less the same group in terms of general managers, you know, they do really ride these picks into the ground. So I will say fantasy, but Warren definitely has looked good. Okay, one of the big surprises at tight end this season, without a doubt, has been Sam Laporta. And it was really good to see that he got back into practice on Friday, so he'll end up playing on Sunday. But there were a lot of names thrown out there, Davis, in the tight end position this offseason, and very few thought Laporta would be among the top tight ends, not just among rookies, but in fantasy football in general. Fantasy reality, Sam Laporta will lead all rookies in receiving touchdowns this season. So this includes Addison, it includes Jaxon Smith-Njigba, it includes Quentin Johnson, who we haven't even seen. So I don't know. Is it a stretch to think this?
I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a stretch. Yeah, I got fantasy. I mean, there are just too many. Like, Quentin Johnson could score like 10 touchdowns in the second half of the season if the Chargers decide to use him that way. Zay Flowers has been really good. I mean, I suppose Laporta has already got a decent little head start on everyone else. But I mean, if it was rookie tight ends, I would definitely say yes. But he's only got 3 right now. Now, granted, he does have a really solid role. I'm going to say fantasy. Quentin Johnston ends up leading all rookies in receiving. Actually, how about this? Bijan Robinson could end up scoring like 7 receiving touchdowns. Bijan already has 2 receiving touchdowns. Yeah, I think there's too many guys. I'll say fantasy.
Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy also, although I don't think this is clear cut. I think it could happen. The one name, the player that I would like to think that it could be would be Jordan Addison. But Davis, my concern would be is if Minnesota did trade Cousins to another team, boy, what would that offense look like the rest of the season? It would be rough. So I don't want to bet on that. I do like your Johnson idea. I just haven't seen enough of him to know. So I'm going to say fantasy. It'll be someone else. Maybe it'll be Addison in the end. Could it be Tank Dell? Like, I don't, I think there's somebody else will step up and have more touchdowns, but hey, Laporta, this is a rare situation where you draft a rookie tight end and it ends up paying off for you. Okay. We saw on Thursday night in Kansas City, Travis Kelce back in action, didn't miss a beat even after his injury a couple of weeks ago. We also saw Taylor Swift back in action at the Kansas City Chiefs games, hugging Brittany Mahomes right there in the club section, whatever it was, VIP section. But look, Davis, this is not a story that we expected, but we are here. Fantasy reality, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift will last until Thanksgiving. That's not even, let me see my phone here. It's not even that long from now. It's like 1 month.
Yeah, it's
from
like
now.
A month
fantasy
and a half.
Fantasy reality. Yeah.
Yeah, I got reality. I mean, if this is, it's great PR for her. I feel like this is huge for her. Seems like Travis Kelce's having a fun time. Like when they're, you know, talking on their podcast and stuff, like it seems like they're enjoying themselves. So yeah, I got reality there. This is going to last for, I hope they get married, man. This is a very fun story, and it's been great for my favorite city in the world, Kansas City. I mean, it's been awesome for them. People are loving and appreciating my favorite city. Taylor Swift's private jet flying in. It's the best.
Yeah, I have reality too. You know what's unfair, Davis, is that since we do this with every couple now, only because of the Kardashians. That's the only reason why we do this. If they didn't, you know, go through all the stuff, then I think that we wouldn't analyze these celebrity relationships like we do. Maybe Pete Davidson is responsible for some of this too. Maybe that's possible. But I really do think that the Kardashians relationships ruined it for the rest of the relationships. But Davis, I see this going right to the holidays, man. I see some Instagram photos coming out of them, you know, under a Christmas tree, you know, getting some presents, things like that. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna last forever, man. I mean, that's ridiculous to even think that. But I think that if Sam asked the question through the end of the year, I think I would have said reality too.
I would have said reality as well. I mean, you cannot, this has got to be the best branding move she has ever made, right? I mean, she is a genius. Her marketing team, they are all geniuses. I mean, they are the absolute best at what they do, right? But this is like, this is pulling in everybody. I got my sister-in-laws are texting me about the Chiefs. Like, they didn't know who Travis Kelce was. And now they're like, we all went out to dinner last night and the game's on. And they're like, oh my, like they know who freaking Rashi Rice is now because of Taylor Swift. So it's good stuff.
All right. Well, relationships we always get to here on our show on Fantasy Sports Today. But the relationship of being on the air is coming to an end here for the weekend because we only have a couple of minutes left. We got the Sports Grid 60 on deck. Davis and Craig with you here as we get ready to wrap it up. We'll do it right after this break. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we get ready to wrap up the show, another edition of Fantasy Sports Today coming to a close. Before we do that, let's turn it over to Davis Maddock. He's got 60 seconds of fresh commentary for you. Here is today's Sports Grid 60.
Just wanted to mention a little thing that Al Michaels did Thursday Night Football, Chiefs, Broncos. He shouted out Rainy Day Books and this amazing book about Patrick Mahomes that Rustin Dodd wrote about the impact that Mahomes has had on the city. That book is now the number one seller on Amazon for books for this entire week. Love that. And I do love when these broadcasters, Michaels, Collinsworth, Kurt Warner, Greg Olson, because they travel all around the country. They probably stay at the same hotel. They go to the same places. I always love, I loved it more when it was in Kansas City as a bookstore right by one of my old apartments in Kansas City. I used to go there all the time. But I just love when there's a little bit of local culture. Kind of reminds me of like European soccer, how the teams are a reflection of the cities that they are in. And I just like that relationship between the cities and the team. So shout out Al Michaels and shout out Rainy Day Books in Kansas City.
All right, let me tell you what you watched on Thursday night in Kansas City with the Chiefs and Broncos. You saw the end of the line for Russell Wilson. It is not going to get better from here, folks. And Wilson probably headed to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but no one is ever going to want to remember his tenure with the Denver Broncos. $42 million, a restructured contract, probably the worst ever. The trade with Denver and Seattle, probably the worst ever in the history of the NFL. Maybe Herschel Walker. Maybe the Herschel Walker deal is number one, and then this is number two. How about in the history of sports? Is this in the top 10? Probably so. Can't believe that we've gotten here. Now, I didn't think Russell Wilson looked right, to be honest with you, his last year in Seattle, so I'm not shocked that this has gone south. But to be the worst team in the NFL with a player that's potentially headed to the Hall of Fame, you do not see that often. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks, of course, to all of our production team at Sports Grid. Thanks to Sam for producing the show. For my co-host Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Good luck this week in fantasy football. Hope you win. We'll be back to help you next week. Have a great one. Great.